Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's RTP call on Tuesday the 25th of January, we have Michaela Nalon, Kevin Erdman, James Bladel, Ollie Hope, Barbara Steele, Matt Serlin, Bob Mountain, Barry Cobb. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Apologies today noted from Simonetta Bottega, Anil George, and Mikey O'Connor. Can I please just remind you to state your names when speaking for transcript purposes? Thank you. Over to you, Michaela.
Thank you, ladies. As per usual, does anybody have an updated statement of interest or declaration of interest? Any takers? Going once, going twice. Okay, moving on. Right then. On the agenda for today, first item on the agenda is with respect to San Francisco. Let's see then. Rather than asking who's going, I'll ask the question, who is not planning to attend San Francisco at this juncture? Are you all planning to attend San Francisco? Kevin, go ahead.
I'm not planning.
Okay. Sorry, I thought there was something else to add. Okay, so you're not planning at the moment. Okay. So the rest of you, Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to brief you, we could tell you how the scheduling process is going to work. We need to submit our forms for meeting requests by the 4th of February. The challenge is, of course, by that date, we might not have clear yet whether we're going to meet the 21st of February publication deadline, which, of course, to a certain extent will determine what kind of meeting we're planning there. But being optimistic and really hopeful that we're going to meet the deadline, I guess the idea would be to, in addition to an update to the GNSO Council, which always takes place on the weekend, to have a workshop where we would present the draft final report and the recommendations and encourage people to submit comments. And then, but the question is if people also would like a separate working group meeting, maybe to plan on how to handle the comments or just to get together and maybe prepare for the workshop, for example. So I guess those are the options, and I would like to get some input from the working group on that, so I know what I need to request.
Okay, thank you, Marika. Barbara?
I just was following up to not certain if I'm attending. Depends on how much work we'll actually be doing there. I may be able to come in and leave, depending on what the schedule's looking like.
Right. What do others think? Would you like to... Okay, the GNSO update will probably be given by me, and as I plan to be in San Francisco from the Friday, so I'll probably give the updates. But generally speaking, the updates kind of gives how did we end up in IRTP Part B? What have we done so far? Where are we at now? And some of the time you get questions from the GNSO, other times you don't. And some of the times you get questions about things that you weren't expecting at all. I mean, things that aren't even actually really related to what you're talking about. So the GNSO update can go any number of different ways. Now, the next question after that is, should we have some form of meeting where the public can attend, in other words, some form of open meeting, or not? Now, we didn't have one in Cartagena. We did have one in Brussels. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think just to note as well, we don't need to take a final decision because I guess part of the usefulness of a public session will be whether we have a report ready and out for public comment or not. So, to be on the safe side, the working group should request what it thinks it might need, and then we can still, close to the day when we have a clearer view of where we're at, we could still cancel that. It's more difficult to add a meeting, following the deadlines than taking out a meeting because we don't need it or we didn't manage to get our report done.
Okay. Does anybody have any strong feelings either one way or the other?
Chris here, McKelly.
Yeah.
I don't think there was on a practical level, a great deal of difference, was there, between the meeting in Brussels that was technically open and the meeting in Cartagena that was technically closed. To me, it was a working group session, and it was good that we were there face to face as opposed to just on the phone. I think it's good that we can get together from time to time.
Thanks, Chris. Just as a matter of clarification, the meeting we had in Brussels wasn't a workshop. It was just a normal working group meeting, which was open to the public. Just to clarify, I mean, I don't think we've actually really had a workshop in this working group, or am I losing my mind? I think we've just had working group meetings so far. Barbara, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm wondering if it makes sense, as Marika mentioned, to go ahead and get something on the calendar if we're able to, you know, kind of designate it then as we get closer as being an open meeting or a closed meeting, depending on whether or not we do have the final report out there and we would be in a position to be able to, I guess, you know, discuss some of the comments that people may have.
Okay. So in other words, put it in, we can always cancel it later or change it if we need to.
Yeah, change the designation from open to closed or what have you, vice versa.
Okay. That's, this is McKaylee. I would tend to agree. I mean, it makes more sense to me to reserve a slot and then change what we're doing with it or possibly free it up rather than ending up without a slot. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I don't want to be difficult, but... one of the challenges is that the 21st February deadline also means the deadline for completing the description on the agenda. So if we really change the content...
February or the 21st of February?
21st of February. On the 4th of February, I need to submit my forms. And in that, you know, we normally need to describe, like, what is the meeting about? Why should people attend? What is the agenda? That can still be changed up until the 21st of February. That's the rules that the Public Participation Committee has set. So normally beyond that date, it's impossible to change and saying, well, you know, this was a workshop, but now we're suddenly making it a closed working group meeting. So if the working group is going to explore the two options and maybe also taking into account that for a workshop, we probably would look for a higher profile slot than for, you know, a working group meeting, which could be, you know, somewhere at lunchtime or early in the morning, which are normally where working groups meet. Maybe the best approach would be just to request the two meeting slots, maybe, because I think for the workshops, it's normally Wednesday morning or Thursday morning, and then find another time, maybe earlier in the week, maybe on Monday morning or Monday afternoon, if there is any time available, for a working group meeting, and then closer to the time, see if we need both, if we need one or none.
Okay, thanks, Marika. James?
Yeah, just briefly, my experience with workshops is that their usefulness occurs at the beginning of a PDP life cycle, not in the middle or at the end. So, you know, I think we should get the slot. I think we should have a face-to-face meeting, and it should be open, but I think that we're past the point where a workshop does us a lot of good, and that's just my opinion. Thanks.
Well, James, just following up on that, that input, which I thank you for, wouldn't it? How would one go about encouraging input and comments? And what format would you use?
You know, I think an open meeting, number one, is a clear indication or an invitation to submit comments or to speak to the issues. I believe that the line between a workshop and an open meeting is a little blurry, but I think that workshops, at least in my mind, have a perception of something that occurs at the beginning of a PDP, you know, someplace in between the issues report and the working group forming and, you know, just around those times. So maybe if we were going to have a workshop, we could include topics and issues that would be coming up in subsequent IRTP iterations, but I think to have a workshop on the charter questions that we have in front of us seems like would be kind of circling back to the beginning of the process, whereas an open meeting would I think get what we're after, which is some public public feedback on these issues without reopening all the old debates.
So if we were to say, just to call it, say, the presentation of the IRTP report, would that be okay with you?
I think presentation and discussion, sure. But, you know, I think, and I hate to sound cynical, but, this has been going on now for over a year. And, you know, if someone has a burning desire to get involved and speak to a particular issue, I believe that they've had ample opportunity to do so. And we need to maybe focus on wrapping up B and moving on through the...
James, with all due respect, I'm not going to debate that with you. I totally agree. No, but in terms of how we name the session, this meeting, on if we were to name it, put it on the agenda, I understand exactly what you're saying with respect to calling it a workshop, because obviously we don't want to have... we don't want people coming along now at this late in the game with a whole kind of stuff that we've already discussed a year and a half ago or whatever. So I'm just saying, would you be okay if we were to call it, say, the IRTP B, draft final report presentation? Would that be okay for you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Barry?
Sorry, Michaeli, this is Barry. Yes, I agree with everything that just said. If there's going to be a meeting in San Francisco at all, it should be exactly like the one that was conducted for RAP back in Nairobi. It was to present the final report, a.k.a. the final recommendations, and then at the very end there's a public mic, and they can ask questions about the final recommendations and then call it a wrap. And I think we're at the position now whether, you know, it's time to do one last poll on our recommendations and start to wrap this up. I don't think we're going to get much further. Really, the biggest one is ETRP, which we'll get to later.
Okay. Thanks, Barry. Marika?
Yeah, it is, Marika. Just to clarify, you know, when talking about workshops, I think it's the general term that we use in ICANN, you know, for sessions that are not one of the big sessions or public comment forum or one of the SOAC meetings. Indeed, the idea, as everyone has suggested, would be to present the draft final report, encourage people to provide input as part of the public comment forum, or indeed ask clarifying questions, or make already comments on those specific recommendations, not to, you know, try to come up with completely new ideas or suggestions. So I'll think of a nice title and make sure that the description is clear on what the session would be about. And as I said, if in close to the day we see that, you know, we don't need that session, we can always cancel it.
Just with respect to timelines on that, what is the last date at which we can cancel that? And James,
I don't think.
Go ahead.
I don't think there's a deadline. I think, you know, an hour for the meeting, you can still cancel it. Of course, it's not, you know, nice because people plan their agendas. Of course, one of the challenges we always have as well is that it will be important to see what other meetings are scheduled opposite, which sometimes result as well in cancellations because people see that there are meetings that, you know, will mean that no one will come to the one meeting or the other. So I think that we can see when the schedule comes out, and I don't think there's a deadline. And, you know, at this stage, I'm not aware of any punishment if you cancel a meeting at last minute.
Okay, thank you. Also, James has put into the chat there a possible title: presentation and discussion of IRTP final report, which I think is a pretty good working title. Does anybody have any strong feelings about a title for this? Are they okay with that? Does anybody have any strong feelings any other way? Bob approves. Barbara approves. Okay, fine.
Chris here, Michaeli. Were we saying draft final just a little bit earlier? Otherwise it sounds good.
Oh, no. Good point. Maybe slipping in the word draft there would solve that problem. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. On that note, now we're talking about title, because I'm wondering if we maybe need to... I don't know if a better title is, for example, preliminary final report, because I don't want to give the impression to people that people think that draft means that we're still know, really actively drafting. I don't know if preliminary would be a better word to signify, like, this is really almost it. You know, this is really the last chance. If there's nothing really major, this is going to be the final. Would preliminary, you know, convey that message better than draft?
I don't know.
Or any other term?
A preliminary, Barbara likes. I personally, I don't have any strong feeling one way or the other, but I would agree with Chris that final by itself is misleading. Matt, do you have any thoughts on this?
I like preliminary.
You like preliminary? Ollie, do you like preliminary?
Yeah.
Does anybody dislike preliminary? And James, I do love your suggestion.
It was a joke.
I think we'll reserve that for our private blogs or something. I don't think putting that on the ICANN meeting schedule would be welcome. Though I would love to be able to put that on an anonymous blog that nobody could link to me. Okay then, moving on. I like Bob's suggestion, ultimate draft final report, though I can see us getting crucified. Moving on, in terms of meetups and everything else, and just, you know, when people are looking at arriving, would it be fair to say that most of you will be in, well, actually, I can't even say, judging by the group. Are many of you arriving at the weekend, or are you all leaving it until the Sunday night last minute to arrive in San Francisco?
Ollie here. Not quite decided yet, so if it helps for me to get there, you know, Saturday, early Sunday, whatever, then I can probably play around with that.
Okay. Who else is around? Okay, so Chris is arriving Thursday. Bob is arriving Saturday. James is arriving on Friday. I'm arriving on Friday. I mean, if nothing else, but I was going to say is that... if nothing else, we could always meet up informally for just a chat or whatever. I mean, we met up in... several of us met in Cartagena kind of informally to kind of go through a few bits and pieces, and it was relatively productive. I mean, as productive as anything which involves me and alcohol, I suppose. But I mean, it wasn't totally unproductive. Anyway, We can always thrash out some of these details. I'm just thinking in terms of getting stuff onto schedules that if we were just arranging all to kind of meet in Hotel X's bar or cafe or whatever to have like a half an hour discussion, then you don't need to put anything on a timetable if it's just a matter of, you know, prepping stuff. Anyway, moving on. Okay then. Moving on to the item number 3 in our agenda. Now, there's been the recommendation 2 was we discussed that myself, Matt, James, and Mikey would draw from SAC. Or second, would look at the SAC 044 relevant to chart question A. I'm actually reading that; it doesn't make much sense, but I think that's what we're talking about. Okay. Now, Matt, could you walk us through what this, please? Or James has got his hand up already. James, go ahead.
Matt, do you mind if I go? Or
no, you have a better voice for these kinds of things than I do, I think.
Oh no. So my initial concern with this recommendation, McKelly, was that it said the original language said. The working group recommends the promotion and adoption of the measures outlined in the recent report. And I think it was the word adoption that got my attention. So I wanted us to go back and just make sure that we weren't issuing a blanket recommendation for everything that was in the SBAC report that should become consensus policy. What I did is I went back through it, and the title of the report is actually something about domain name security for registrants. So I don't really think that we can or should recommend that anything in here become consensus policy, because it's not really aimed at contracted parties. It seems to be the target audience is registrants. So what I would like to do is just change the recommendation of number two to drop the word adoption and just say something like, we strongly encourage the promotion of this report, or we could be more specific and say, we strongly encourage the promotion or support the promotion of this report to registrants. So that was just my feeling on this. I think it was the word adoption that kind of raised the red flag, and then I went back and looked at the report and realized that it's not really a laundry list of consensus policy ideas. It's mainly good security practices for registrants.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else want to add in anything here on this? No comments? Okay, now I would, just adding in my own voice on this, I can fully see exactly where James was coming from. I mean, the document is titled A Registrant's Guide to Protecting Domain Name Registration Accounts. So there's lots and lots and lots of things in the report. I mean, there's a bunch of questions and, you know, why questions you should ask yourself. You should ask a registrar, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why you should ask them, possible thing, reasons, et cetera, et cetera. So I think, you know, raising awareness, promoting the report is a good thing. But you can't really expect people to adopt us, because that would be that's a totally different kettle of fish entirely. So I would strongly support James's view on that. Matt, do you agree or disagree?
No, I agree.
Okay. We didn't have any input from Mikey, I believe, did we, or did we? Barry, go ahead.
Thank you, Michaela. It's Barry. I support the removal of the word adoption. I mean, I don't think there was consensus policy anywhere in that recommendation, so I don't think that was the intent of the recommendation to begin with. In terms of keying in on the word promotion, though, you know, we're making this recommendation that, you know, the working group recommends the promotion of it. Well, what does that really mean? Does that mean the contracted parties are going to take this SBAC report and make it their own kind of marketing materials and I guess, evangelize these great ideas out to the world? Or is this recommendation mean that, you know what does promotion really mean, and what actions would the GNSO Council take on this recommendation after we said that? Thank you.
James?
Yeah, thanks, Michaela. This is James speaking. And that's an excellent point, Barry. What do we do with this when we say promote it? You know, do we plaster it to the doorways in San Francisco and hope that people pick up a copy on their way out? My feeling is, and we had a bit of a discussion about this in the meeting with between registrars and the ALAC, my feeling is that this is a perfect example of an ALAC outreach type of an issue, or can form the foundation of an ALAC outreach campaign where they can take this to their regional at-large organizations and help disseminate this through the ranks of their membership. I think that, as I said, in Cartagena, if you ask a registrar to take this message, we will certainly deliver this message to our customers and explain to them why they should choose my registrar over Michaela's or Matt's, for example. You know, it will become a marketing piece, as it should. We're a competitive branch of the ICANN community, and that's what we do. If we're going to educate someone on how to be a good registrant, we're going to educate them on how to be our good registrant. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Does that kind of answer your question, Barry?
Perfectly, yes. I'd just point out that, you know, I guess maybe we should append a couple of bullets or something to the recommendation to inform the GNSO Council what, you know, what promotion is. And if it's those two things that James mentioned, I'm perfectly happy by it. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. I mean, I mean, the question you raised, Barry, I think is a very valid one. I mean, promotion is a kind of a meaningless word in many respects. I don't know, maybe the kind of thing that we should say is that we would encourage the ALAC and other ICANN structures to, how would I put this, to circulate and promote the report amongst their members or something. I don't know, I'm just flailing around here looking for something a little bit more specific. Barry?
Unfortunately, I don't think I have an exact answer, but this is probably a more curious question for the veterans. Does the ALAC have an inbox, so to speak, to take these requests and take action on them? Have we done any recommendations kind of like this in the near past that we can leverage to make sure that gets thrown over the fence a little bit smoother?
Barry, this is McKaylee. There's been, well, the ALAC people are usually involved in a lot of the working groups. This is one of the few working groups where they don't really have any representation that I'm aware of. Badouin is ALAC, but he's not actually on the call today, as far as I know. Or is he? Well, he doesn't seem to be. There is always the option. I mean, I think the ALAC leadership will follow GNSO deliberations, and the new head of the ALAC, I know, has been on several of the working groups, and there's also meetings now between ALAC and I think just the registrars. I'm not too sure about the other ICANN structures. I don't know. Somebody else could speak to that. So there definitely is better opportunities for communication and sharing that I'm aware of, anyway. And the worst comes to the worst, Barry. We can always send an email to Cheryl.
the formal method. All right, thank you.
Okay, no problem. Marika, you might know this because you know a lot of things. Marika or Gisela or somebody. Do ALAC have meetings with other groups beyond...
This is Marika. We don't have the GNSO doesn't have a formal meeting with the ALAC, but we do have an ALAC liaison that participates in GNSO council meetings. So I'm sure if this recommendation gets passed on to the GNSO council and gets adopted, it would be channeled through the ALAC liaison at that stage.
Okay. Does that kind of answer the question, Barry?
Perfectly.
Okay. James is suggesting maybe looking at adding in the wording of like advocate or evangelize or advocate or evangelize the report. I mean, there's lots of things one could do. Rob, just as you joined a bit late, we're currently looking at the recommendations about the FSAC report. I'm trying to think of some wording. Matt, go ahead.
Thanks, McKaylee. You know, I don't know that we should make it ALAC specific, frankly. I think ICANN itself should have a role in disseminating and promoting the report too. So I don't know if we, you know, just specifically call out, hey, you know, here you go, ALAC, or you know, make it a little more broad and say, you know, the greater ICANN community or whatever sort of language we come up with, but that's my input.
Okay. Anybody else?
McKaylee, this is Barry. Just to respond to that, I mean, I agree. I wouldn't want to nail down a recommendation like this to just silo it on one course of path. I guess we just need to find a balance because the recommendation in its current form, based on just what happened with the RAP exercise, We need to have some sort of actionable content in our recommendation. Otherwise, the GNSO will kick it back to us and say, well, what priority do you want us to do, or what, you know, they're going to probably want more information. So the more actionable we make our recommendations, the less work we'll have to do on the back end or pass them on to anybody else.
Okay. James?
Hi. So I just wanted to go and agree with Matt. We don't need to necessarily call out one specific group, but we should say, for example, the ALAC or at-large, not the ALAC, the at-large, I think, if I'm understanding that distinction correctly. But certainly other groups are welcome to promote and disseminate this information. Thanks.
Okay. Marika, Marika and I were also discussing the possibility of reaching out, maybe just asking the ESSAC what they intend to do themselves, which might give us some kind of help so that maybe we could, support whatever they're doing. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. When I suggested that, I wasn't thinking about making a formal request to the ESSAC, but I wanted to check with my colleague Dave Piscatello, who supports the ESSAC, to see, you know, what they've planned with regard to that specific advisory and what kind of recommendation they would consider helpful, or why they think more could be done indeed to promote this report. So that might, you know, provide some actual actionable input for the specific recommendation if the working group thinks that's helpful.
Thanks, Marika. Well, I for one think it's a good idea. Right then, moving on. Now, unfortunately, Paul Diaz isn't on the call today, but he did leave us a message to pass on. Sorry, I was bringing up the email he sent us. Hold on. Where is it? Give me 2 seconds.
Michaela, can I maybe in the meantime explain some of the other changes that people need to have a look at before we get to Paul's point?
Sorry, well, I found Paul's point.
Okay. Want me to go first or you go first?
No, ladies first. Come on, you're a lady. I'm an ugly Irishman. Come on.
So just to know that there were two changes that were discussed in the previous call and agreed by the working group. So it was adding incumbents to GTLDs that you see highlighted in track change red, and change unanimous consensus to rough consensus, noting that not everyone voted in favor of these recommendations, although there was no one saying no, but I think the working group agreed that it would only take unanimous consensus in those cases where everyone affirmatively voted in favor. Also, to address some of the concerns that people expressed on that call, and I think especially noting that, you know, this is not a recommendation for CQIS. This is merely a recommendation to initiate or to request an issue report that would need to look at the different elements, you know, positive as well as negative, of a potential CQIS model for all new GTL, or for all TLDs. I've added a language a sentence at the end of the recommendation that tries to capture that. So basically, read such an issue report and possibly subsequent policy development process should not only consider a possible requirement of CQIS for all incumbent GTLDs in the context of IRTP, which would also consider any other positive and or negative effects that are likely to occur outside of IRTP that would need to be taken into account when deciding whether a requirement of CQIS for all incumbent GTLDs would be desirable or not. So trying to capture that concern and making sure that that's represented in the recommendation. So basically my question is if there's any objection to that specific addition.
Okay, perfect. Just with in relation to this, to kind of pass on the message from Paul Diaz, or try to at least, Paul thinks that either myself or James understand his point of view and asked that one of us was to speak on his behalf. Now, Barry, I see you. I'll get you in just 2 seconds. It's captured in the notes, but just if anybody has any issue with it, it's just the idea being, it's to do with, you know, capture, it's the idea of capture versus display, and, you know, that there are possible concerns with displaying every single contact, and just so that people are clear on where he's coming from. Barry, go ahead.
Thank you, McKaylee. I'd just like to I posted this out to the list, and I never got a response. I'm still uncomfortable with this whole rough consensus assignment, but I'd just soon move on from it. My question to the working group is, once we've gone through this exercise where we review the final recommendations, will we be polling amongst the stakeholders of this working group for final determination of these recommendations? Thank you.
Barry, do you mean polling each of us, polling the work group as in all of us, or polling us so that we can get a feedback from our stakeholder groups?
I think Mariko will answer it specifically for me, but just us that are working on the final report for submission to the GNSO. As I pointed out onto the list, this recommendation is a pretty important one, and I still am having difficulty understanding why we don't have full consensus, especially with the comments that Marika has posted on the bottom about just initiating the PDP, not saying whether one needs to be done or not. And so if we're not going to get unanimous consensus on this, I think that that sends a mixed message back to the council, and therefore I think it's very important that amongst the primary stakeholders of the working group that we all poll again so that we get a final determination on where everybody stands on this. And so if, for example, this recommendation doesn't maintain the support that it originally started out with, I'd just like to have that documented. And as I alluded to in my note, I think the RAP went through the same exercise, and it was pretty valuable for the final report. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Barry. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I mean, there are two options here. You know, we could go through another poll that we did before where everyone just basically votes yes, no, or no strong view either way. Another way would be to, you know, once we have all the recommendations together, each of them would have a designation, and, you know, hopefully most of them will have unanimous consensus. The idea could be then as well that we actually send it out to the working, to the mailing list, and just encourage everyone that, you know, hasn't been on calls or still wants to speak up if they disagree with the designation. And I think the idea would be as well, and that's actually one of the recommendations in the new working group guidelines, although, you know, this working group is not required to work under those guidelines as they haven't been adopted yet, but to actually indicate those that didn't vote in favor so that there's as well a record of members of the working group that actually expressed that, you know, for example, on this one, it would indicate, I think, and we need to look back, but I know, you know, Paul, for example, prefers that this is rough consensus, and I think James for similar reasons. So it would include then the names of those people that basically said, you know, no strong view either way, which make this recommendation a non-unanimous one. And I guess it would be an option for them as well to submit a minority statement if they would like to explain why they feel this shouldn't be a unanimous consensus position. So there's something for the working group to consider if they prefer to do another poll like we did before. So we do a, you know, a Zoom rank poll, and people do that online, and at the end we have the results. Or whether, you know, on the calls we come to agreement on what we believe is the designation based on our discussions, and then ask for on the mailing list to make sure that those that are not on the calls, if they agree or whether they want to express disagreement with you know, the designation of each recommendation.
Okay. Just so that we can just move forward with this. Does anybody have an issue with some kind of simple poll just to help us to drive this forward to conclusion? James?
Yeah, I don't have an issue with that. I would just recommend that if this is going to be a binary question, do you support this or do you not support this? You know, if we leave out the no strong opinion, abstain, you know, the sort of responses, then we'll get some clarity on this. And I think we're going to find that we have less of rough consensus. But that's just my opinion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, James. Anybody else? Okay, simple question for you all. Does anybody have a serious issue, serious concern, I totally hate, do not want to, or object to a poll? Okay, I'll take that silence as meaning no objection. Okay, James?
Yeah, you're a little too quick there, Michele. It's not that I object. I don't object. I just feel like it's maybe a bit unnecessary.
Marika?
This is Marika. One thing to point out as well is that if we want to do a poll, we really need to get through this recommendation and have final language because, you know, it takes some time to set up the poll. We need to give people a bit of time to conduct the poll. We need some time to actually review the result of the poll and, you know, see if there's anything else that needs to be done to modify or make sure people get closer together. So it would mean that if we want to meet the deadline that, you know, maybe we need an additional call or do more on the mailing list because before we can actually conduct the poll, we need to get on you know, get final agreement on the language of the different recommendations.
Okay, thanks, Marika. Right, well, like, in terms of timelines, you were saying, Marika, that we only have, how many is it, three more meetings left before the deadline? Is that right?
Yeah, this is Marika. Following this meeting, we'll have three more, if we continue meeting on a weekly basis, three more meetings.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why we can't do this just via the mailing list. Try and push forward that way. Okay, then. Recommendation four. Sorry. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this one more, if we can just, you know, clear out as well on recommendation three, then. There are no objections to removing that sentence as Paul suggested. He suggested removing the last sentence just before the red new bid. That reads, it should be noted that this recommendation does not imply that additional information collected under a thick whois model needs to be publicly displayed. That's his proposal, and I haven't heard any opposition.
I would actually support his proposal, because in terms of privacy and everything else, I'd have to support that proposal. So I would support it, his proposed wording. Does anybody disagree?
No.
Fine. Move on. Okay. Paul Diaz's point's taken, and we agree. Recommendation four. Sorry, I'm just moving on the screen so I can actually see it. Now, where is the language from Barbara gone to?
This is Marika. I actually haven't added that here yet because it was just put out on the mailing list and I haven't added it here to the table yet as it was as well for the discussion. So I think
okay,
Barbara just...
I mean, it's that link there, is it?
Yes.
No. I'm actually losing my mind. It looks like it's a blank email as the link you sent. Hold on. Barbara's still here or is she gone?
I'm here. I thought it was relating to item three. Or I shouldn't say that. To question B. It kind of fell within that group, I think.
Well, you know, it's the recommendation numbers, not the charter questions.
Right.
Sorry, so it's like charter questions, you know, it's recommendation 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. And then the charter questions are A, B, C, D. So
yeah, it may have been more of an additional recommendation to address the trumping of the admin contact by the registrant.
Right. We had a bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, just because so the question for me would be as well, and so the Barbara, your recommendation is an additional 1, 2, 3, and 4 under charter question B, so it wouldn't be to replace the current proposal for recommendation four.
That's correct.
Okay, so I'll update in the next table then that it comes out as a separate recommendation. So maybe we first want to talk then about what to do with four. I've tried to catch in my notes because we had further discussion on Simonetta's proposal, and there seemed to be growing support, I had the feeling, on the last call for her proposal, which basically, instead of, you know, making any recommendations on you know, how to change the affect the control of registration, actually ask for a new working group to be created to actually look at that issue in further detail.
Right.
So where does the working group stand on that one? So we have recommendation 4, and we have the alternative language proposed by Simonetta.
I don't really know. What do people feel? Does anybody have any strong feelings about this? Okay, you've got the Simonetta suggestion. You've also got the idea that of another work group possibly looking at the change of control concept. And we also have Barbara's suggestion. Is that right, Marika? There's three things there, or am I missing something?
Well, Barbara's suggestion is going to be a separate recommendation, basically, not intended to replace either of these two. So I think we need to take these two separately and then look at Barbara's recommendation as an additional one to address this charter question.
Okay, then. So we've got the Simonetta language is here, saying the working group notes that the IRTP is widely used to affect a change of control, and it goes through all that. James, go ahead.
Hi, sorry for this. I know we're approaching the end of this first session, but I would like to spend a little bit more time, looking into Barbara's recommendation. I just don't feel like I'm real comfortable right now saying I support it or oppose it. I'd like to talk to some folks internally, and perhaps if we could defer that until our next call, I would very much appreciate that.
James, can I just, instead of deferring it to a call, because I think, we can do a lot of this stuff.
Or the list. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, it's just if anybody wants to check internally, ask a friend or whatever, with respect to Barbara's suggestions and see if there's any issues they may have with it or if they need any clarification. If we could try and do that through the list, then I think that would be a bit more economical use of time. I'm not saying that it has to be done today or tomorrow, but rather than the kind of let's wait for a week.
Absolutely, Michele. My main point was I just didn't feel like I was put on the spot right now on this call to weigh in on that.
Okay, that's no problem. That makes perfect sense. Now, with respect to the change of control concept, there's suggested wording from Simonetta. Which is up there on the Adobe Connect room. Now, Simonetta isn't actually on the call today. And what there's possibilities of looking at the change of wording that Simonetta has there, or maybe bumping this to another working group to look at this a little bit more closely. So the alternative language proposed by Simonetta is as follows. The working group notes that the IRTP is widely used to effect a change of control over a given registration, as opposed to simply moving the registration of a new sponsoring registrar with all contacts unchanged. While the IRTP lists both the registrant and the admin contact as authorized transfer contacts to change registrars, the change of control function is not defined. Therefore, the working group recommends that a policy addressing the details of a change of control mechanism in conjunction with domain transfers should be worked out. The work group addressing this issue should draw on specialists from the registries, the registrars, the secondary market, domain portfolio holders, and ICANN policy staff. James, go ahead.
I support Simonetta's general idea. I have a couple of tweaks with her language. I mean, first off, I don't think that we should recommend that a policy be worked out. I think the appropriate response is to recommend an issues report studying the potential for a change of control consensus policy, recommending an issues report on, something like, what could be done in terms of setting up a separate change of control function. I think that the other bits of this recommendation are probably, understood by most in the community that experts will be drawn upon, and I don't think that that's ever been a problem. I think they will show up.
Okay. Anybody else have any strong feelings on this, Barbara?
I actually agree with James's assessment of that. I don't know that it necessarily belongs as a part of the IRTP just by virtue of the fact that it's inter-registrar transfer policy, but I do think that it would be worthy of having an issues report drafted and another look at it for perhaps a second or another policy relating specifically to change of registrant.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. My own personal view, this is me, Michaeli, speaking as myself, not as anything else, I'd agree as well with the last two people have said that, it's an issues report type thing. If nothing else, it can't do any harm, and also as well, based on my own experience and our experience as a company dealing with domains and registrants and everything else, there are issues that we see. So if something was there that people could actually look at in terms of, you know, best practices, policy, what call it what you like, this would make life a lot easier for a lot of people. Okay then, moving on. Chris?
Yes.
There's a note here saying, draft additional language for inclusion in the notes on the different scenarios and issues discussed by the working group in relation to charter question B without resolution, and then your name is beside it.
Yes, this is the one where we were looking at the different scenarios with the different roles, actually, between the registrant and the admin contact, where we
right.
could see the different, we could have the companies, we could have partners, directors, employees, ex-employees, man or wife, webmaster, and all these. So I've been sort of sketching out what's becoming ever more complex, and it gets bigger and bigger, as you see, when it starts to become tabulated.
It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress. The one question I did have, though, is when we say notes, I was wondering where this would fit into the report, into which chapter of the report. Is it approach taken by the working group? I don't know whether it's just... Somebody could orientate me on that.
Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think the appropriate section will be working group deliberations, where we cover basically the items we've discussed, and, you know, basically that should frame as well what has led us to the different recommendations that we make. So,
okay.
It might be
a chapter or some subpart of that section.
Right. If you look in that section in the draft I circulated, there's for each of the charter questions, there's a separate section in which, in bullet points, I've tried to highlight the main points that the working group has discussed in relation to that issue. So maybe there you might want to suggest something specifically in that section on, you know, charter question B relating to, you know, the points you just mentioned.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Okay then. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to wrap up on the recommendation for the language, James, did I understand you correctly that you're going to make some changes and suggest those to the list on that one based on Simonetta's language? Just want to get my action items.
Sure, I could do that. You bet.
Thanks.
I mean, Chris, if you also, even if you've got a rough draft of what you're... doing at the moment, if you want to share it with us or even some of us and get some feedback or suggestions, you know, please do
okay.
feel free to do
push
so.
It on the list, yeah.
Or put on the list. I mean, the other people will have a look at it. They might kind of go, hey, that's fantastic. Can't think of anything else. They might go, oh, my God, are you on drugs? Who knows? You know what I mean? It's always a good idea to kind of share these things. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. As we're reaching the end of the call, maybe a proposal I could make is to try from the... Because I think we've, you know, completed a lot already on the basis of what we discussed, but we haven't really gotten to the other recommendations in the last few calls. If I can maybe, you know, start some separate threads on each of these items with the different comments that have been made so far or any other considerations and try to get people to discuss on the list so that maybe we can work our way through the remaining items. And I think especially the one on... recommendation five, we had some, you know, alternative language proposed by James. Barbara proposed a modification. I actually have some items that I've, got from internally on the proposed languages, so I'll add it as well to it. So maybe we can have some further discussion on the mailing list and you know, try to come to some kind of a closure on these different items, in between calls as well.
Okay, perfect. It's 2 minutes to the hour, so I think some people have to drop off, including myself. Does anybody have any final parting words of wisdom? I'll take that silence to mean no, and I will now hand you over to Barry, who will look after you for the next whatever length of time it takes. He's saying less than an hour. So, Barry, all yours.
Thank you, McKaylee. I don't think we're having too many peeps that are staying on for the second hour, and as I mentioned in the chat, I don't think we'll need all of this second hour. In recap, from the last several second hour sessions, one way or another, although it hasn't been officially polled, the old idea of ETRP is dead. I think there was very significant support for that as a last-ditch effort. We're hoping that we can modify the concept and the support that we had with the ETRP and maybe just fold it within the existing policies that we have today, and therefore not necessarily create a separate policy called ETRP. As I alluded to on the last call, I found what is in essence the procedure for restoring a domain name. I think what kind of icing on that cake needs to be added is the scope and time frame in which an urgent restore could be performed. So with that idea, we haven't really kind of thrown it out to the group, and there's not too much of a group to throw it out to today. I sent out three attachments last night, and I can't believe I don't have feedback on it. I mean, don't people not sleep around here? No. Anyway, I don't expect any feedback on what I sent out last night because it was just before this call. And so I'll just quickly run through the three attachments and what was trying to be achieved there, and then we can take the rest of the discussion to the list. And I've also asked McKaylee to make sure that we have a ETRP line item for the full hour next week. The attachments I sent, I don't think we're going to share in Adobe because they're pretty big. But the first one is a PDF, and it is labeled IRTPB_swimlane_current version 0.2. So the whole concept behind what I'm labeling as current, make sure there's no questions or comments. Oh, there it is. Thank you, Marika. On page 2, there's basically several pages within this attachment. The first page is the process legend. Second page is my interpretation of the IRTP policy as we see it today. There's several key takeaways about this swim lane. The first and foremost is you're going to see a lot of text in there, which is cut and paste from the actual policy itself. And that text that is included in these swim lanes have direct bearing on the task and or procedures or sub-processes that are indicated in the swim lane. So I felt it was important to put both of those together because a single activity box may not necessarily describe the complexity of that particular task, and therefore the text from the policy was pretty relevant sitting right next to it. At any rate, what you're looking at is the current IRTP process. When I created this, I first started with what you'll find on page 5, which is the IRTP Part A processes that were developed under the Working Group A. there were basically five different or six different diagrams that were pulled from that working group, and I've tried to incorporate the colored and black and white flow charts into my swim lane model. So for the most part, I think I've got those covered. And then my second exercise is I basically went line by line through the IRTP policy to try to validate my process logic in the swim lane. While I think I'm pretty close, I won't ever claim that I'm 100% accurate. I'm a human. Humans do make mistakes. So part of the homework assignment for the group is to review through these swim lanes and help me validate whether I missed some logic steps, especially those that are more familiar with the operational components of IRTP.
Okay. Very good here.
Yes, Chris.
The one that you released a week ago, that's now, on my understanding, that's now been split into two, the current and the proposed.
That is correct. Yes, I should do a better job explaining the difference. So one file is labeled as current, and it includes the IRTP, my interpretation of a dispute procedure before you get to TDRP, and then it also includes the, what I interpret to be the current state of TDRP as it exists today, and that's page 4, the really big swim lane that goes from left to right forever in a lifetime. And then I also included the legacy documents on pages 5 and 6, the old IRTP process models, and then the last page, which was the ETRP as it was proposed in our interim report that is no longer being considered, at least not formally. The second file, or the other PDF, which is labeled as proposed, that file basically took the current swim lanes, and then within there's 4 pages on the proposed file, and everywhere there is a procedure or an activity, a new procedure or activity to accommodate an urgent restore in the case of hijacking, those activity boxes and subsequent lines are all highlighted in red. And so the idea here is that if you could put up on one screen all of the current state and then on your other screen put up the proposed state, you can identify the gaps of what we're proposing in terms of policy updates. And then lastly, there was a third PDF, which is a cut and paste of the existing or current IRTP and TDRP policy documents. And the idea for this third document was to highlight the areas where we believe there would need to be additional text or content, or actual policy content, to accommodate some sort of urgent restore. The text that you see in those documents is only a first-run suggestion. Mikey had helped me out, and he cut some text from previous SSAC reports. But what you'll see in there is any place that is highlighted in yellow with red text is an area that we think that we would need to add policy content to accommodate for this urgent return. Okay, so there's only very few of us on the call. I don't want to take much more of people's time unless they have specific questions about anything that we've tried to put forward here. So just real quick again, in a nutshell, the three PDFs. One is current. If anything that we can get garner from this is at least a better picture that subsequent use and policy development and that kind of stuff can take it to the next level for IRTP. Again, the other document is the proposed which is to replace the original ETRP with this new urgent or possible, I don't know what we want to title it, but
forcible rather than urgent, perhaps.
Correct, yes. What we'd like to maybe suggest, again, it's really leveraging what already exists in the policy today. What we're really trying to accomplish here is to put a framework around that. In a nutshell, within the current ETRP, there has to be a mechanism that invokes action to perform an urgent restore of a transferred domain. And then the second component of it is, I think what was missing in the past from ETRP is it wasn't really tied to anything that kept everyone honest. And so the idea here in general is if a registrant fears that his domain was hijacked, he calls up his registrar of record, red alert, my name's been hijacked. The registrar of record would work behind the scenes, as they do today with the gaining registrar. If the registrar of record and or the registrant thinks that it's important enough, they can invoke the urgent restore. And if that happens, whatever time frame that is, what's included in this documentation is 72 hours, that none of that's written in stone. But if the urgent restore is invoked, that it automatically invokes the TDRP. And what we didn't want to do was destroy what already works today, and that's how two registrars can work together to resolve an issue on their own. So essentially what we decided to do was to create a level zero within TDRP, right. Meaning... Hello? What we wanted to do was to create a level zero that would merely document the fact that this is a suspected hijacking case, that it has been restored to its original state, that the domain is locked until some sort of dispute is resolved, whether it be level zero, one, or two, and then the outcome of that is whether the restore was justified, whether the restore needs to be undone, or whether we need to undo the undo restore, or that there's no decision and everything stays at current state. And then depending on where you are in that chain of custody is how much you pay for invoking those procedures and dispute resolution. So without going through the swim lanes activity by activity, everybody's homework assignment tonight is to review through these three documents. If you see any gaps in my logic from what I've documented, please email me and I'll make those updates accordingly. If you have any questions about the concept of the urgent return, then definitely please pass them out to the list. And then I'll just close by stating that I hope that we make this the first or second meeting action item for next week so that we can take this back to the larger working group. I think we're at a point here, though, is there was already considerable support to drop ERTP in its presence form. So that's done. I think when we take this to a larger working group, that can get voted down and we can move on. Then the second is this new concept and whether we want to spit, if there is support for it, then the primary task from there would be to update policy, I guess some rough idea of what the policy text would be within the current policy documents. And if we get support that we think we can get this done in time for San Francisco, then we'll move forward with it. If not, then vote it down, and then we move forward. Any questions, gripes, complaints, concerns, comments?
No.
All right. Well, I thank you, everyone. Take this to the list, and we'll talk next week. And Marika, if you can listen to me, you know, let's still keep the second hour going. As I mentioned before, I don't know that there will be a formal second hour just for ETRP. It's time to take this to the bigger group.
Barry, Chris here. I've got a quick question.
Sure, Chris.
And, you know, obviously, thanks for doing this. You've obviously put a lot of work into this, and I see support has changed from the ETRP to doing it this way, and as I say, you've obviously put a lot of work in and thought it through. Is there anything that you feel is a big gap or a disadvantage in doing it this way as opposed to the ETRP that you feel there's a hole there that you've not plugged or you want to mention?
Not yet, anyway. I think this revised approach does squash the concerns that were raised by the original ETRP, meaning that, you know, I think that there, by leveraging what already exists out there today, should certainly put to rest the issue of using the ETRP for, or abusing the ETRP in what its current form is today. By, while not the urgent return itself is not a dispute resolution mechanism, or it lacks something to dispute it, by tying it to existing dispute resolution, I think mitigates the chance for it being abused, because it certainly seems like once you decide to enter into the TDRP land, it's not a cheap endeavor. And certainly, which reminds me of a question for anybody on the phone and or Marika or anybody else, do we know who the dispute resolution providers are for TDRP? You know, like, for example, with UDRP, it's pretty clear who those dispute resolution providers are. I'm just curious if we know who they are for TDRP, and I'm wondering if there's not other information from those groups that we can leverage. In terms of trying to address the other gaps, I think what is very important about this second proposal, and I do need to correct one thing you said, Chris, I wouldn't say that there is support for this second proposal. So far, nobody has mentioned support one way or another for it. Use of the word support is wrong. That it's just a proposal at this point.
It was drop the EDRP, not support yours. Yeah,
correct. But I think what is really nice about this second proposal is the creation of this level zero within TDRP, because I think what this will allow to do is for the industry to gain better visibility, at least on the reactive components of hijacking. So if there ever is a request out there to, you know, for a hijacking domain, and it ever gets invoked to undo that hijack, if they follow or traverse the process through level zero, we at least get to document that instance happened. And I think over time, that could be pretty valuable information. Okay, so any other questions, post them on to the list. Thank you, everyone, for your time, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks, Barry.
Okay.
Take care, everyone.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Everyone.